I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, third hour. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio on this Monday around the country. All good. Coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Yeah, Buke knows how to push my buttons. We worked together back in the day for a little bit in San Francisco. Love him. But he knew that would rile me up a little bit. Wasting my time telling me Julius Randle's top 50 in the NBA. Top 50? 50? Stop. All right, so our Slack chain was buzzing last night. And I will allow my man Tiki to set the stage, and then I will obviously weigh in, and we will discuss what not even on the surface. I mean, undeniably, it's a watershed moment, first of all. And then we'll try to implement a sense of what it would be like if you're not a big soccer fan.
To cross over, what the crossover effect is.
What it would be like if it was happening stateside with the conventional four, or at least the big three, to put it in proper context here. But this is a story that, you know, I mean, 30, 40, 50 years, maybe ever, the biggest story to come out of European soccer, again, maybe ever, maybe that 3-4-5-decade time frame.
Yeah.
You love it. You're into it. Set it up and let's go.
Yeah, I'm into it. And I just watched Liverpool snatch a tie from the firm grip of victory, giving up a corner kick, a header in the 89th minute. So that's frustrating.
Oh, wow. Can I ask you, they snatched, so they got a tie.
Yes.
Oh, but your team...
Yeah, my team is Liverpool. They should have won and gotten three points. They should have won and got 3 points. Instead, they tied and get 1 point. And they're trying to get.
But if you scored that goal late, right, yes, and you actually forced the tie, would you have been pumped? Because there's nothing about a tie that would really be psyched
of course
up. Even if
of course
I scored a goal in the 89th
yeah
minute to
look,
get
if they
it
have played, if Liverpool had played terrible all season, all game long, and in the 89th minute they got a header and it tied the game and they get a point as opposed to getting zero.
You get pumped up.
It's a big deal. Not and right I'll point to this for a reason. I bring that up for a reason because European soccer is different than American sports. It's not wins and losses. It's points, right? So if you tie, you get a point. If you lose, you get none. If you win, you get three. And so it's all about how well you perform throughout the season. And if you don't perform well, so if you're at the bottom back edge, the bottom three, you get relegated, right? There's a consequence for sucking in European soccer. Mm-hmm. And conversely, if you're in the lower league, in the English Premier League, that lower league is the EFL Championship, you get promoted upwards, right? So if you're really good, top three in the championship, you go up. Bottom three in the Premier League, you go down. And so there's consequences for being good and for being bad. And including
that's pressure.
It is pressure.
That's pressure.
And it's money, BT.
No
it's
question
money. If you're in the Premier League, you're getting money because you're on TV, you're more recognized, etc. The same thing can be said about the top four and most of the European leagues and how it pertains to these big tournaments that we talk about. And I bring this up because CBS Sports Network has the rights to the Champions League and the UEFA Europa League as well. And those are the cross country competitions that take place, right? Bayern Munich is the defending champion. They beat PSG last year in the Champions League. It's a great property. It's fun when those games are on. We get preempted for them sometimes when they're on. You know, people want to watch them both in the States and around the country. Well, what's happening, BT, is that the big six in the English Premier League, which includes Liverpool and Man United, have joined six others in Serie A, which is Italian, and La Liga, which is Spanish, to form what will be a new competition to really compete with like the Champions League and the Europa League called the ESL, the European Super League. And the problem with that is that it's a massive money grab. And those 6 or 12 teams are going to be immune from being relegated. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it's like
yeah, I got you on that.
they are there regardless.
Yep.
And so it creates this bubble for the bigger brands. And the reason this is getting a lot of pushback, I think, BT, is because some of these teams are owned by Americans, mm-hmm. including Man U, who's owned by the Glazers. Liverpool is part owned by the Fenway Sports Group, which LeBron invested in.
Yep.
I think Arsenal might also have American.
Doesn't Kevin Durant have a piece in Poland? Doesn't he have a piece
yeah,
of the
Yeah, he does in one.
Team, I think, right?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it is, but you're right. And so it's disrupting the fabric of European soccer because it's creating this exclusive league,
yep.
right? It's not inclusive, so everybody can't compete in it. It's exclusive to the stars, like the big name, teams, and
yeah.
the little teams.
I got it.
Have no shot to compete here. And all of this money, I mean, they're talking about billions of dollars will be shared amongst this elite, and it's rubbing people the wrong way. Not just the UEFA, who is the governing body, and FIFA, who does some of the international competitions, but the fans of a lot of these teams, because as much as they want to see their teams be successful, they also want to see their teams have like the pressure of having to be good. You know what I mean? There's no relegation threat here in this league.
Yeah,
and I think it's rubbing people the wrong way.
That's interesting.
The reason it's interesting, BT, from a non-soccer standpoint, because people have been going off on this all day in Europe and even American commentators who are talking about this. This is kind of what the Power Five and the NCAA, college football and basketball, want to do to the NCAA. Like, they want to separate themselves from the NCAA because there's more money if they're playing themselves as opposed to playing, I don't know, Colgate or whoever it may be.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
And so it creates a vacuum that this big teams can exist in without penalty and make a ton of money because that's who everybody wants to watch, to the exclusion of everybody else.
And I got a couple of questions for you.
I think that's the biggest problem because it excludes so many other people. In the Champions League, a minor team can get hot and beat one of the big boys, and it's a huge reward for them. Now, they got to do it twice because obviously in the Champions League, it's home and away. But still, it's a big deal to have the threat of losing to someone that you shouldn't lose to.
The teams that are left behind.
Yeah,
right?
And there's lots of them.
I know. Can they still, not just function, can they still flourish?
Well, here's the thing. Who knows, right? Because so the Champions League isn't going to go away, right? The Europa, why am I forgetting the name of it? The Europa League's not going to go away, right? These competitions are going to keep going. The clubs, like the Premier League, the Bundesliga, the La Liga, they're still going to play their club schedules. Mm-hmm. It's just another championship added in the middle that they're going to play in the middle of the weeks. So like on Wednesdays, they'll play this European Super League schedule, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is if you're a TV, a partner,
yeah.
Which one are you going to be more likely to put your resources to?
The one that I'm going to make more money in.
Exactly. The super teams like Man U and Atletico and Barcelona and Liverpool, et cetera. Or maybe that, you know, this little team down here in Leeds.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know,
we've been loyal to them, but we're going to make more money here.
You're going to make more money. And so
aren't they contractually bound for a while? Doesn't something have to expire before the contract of the TV rights can shift?
Yes, yes, yes. But when that shift happens,
it'll be a
Herculean shift.
If the league sustains itself, are we sure now?
Oh, yeah, of course. Because you know what? So I'm a Liverpool fan. Yeah. I would love to see Liverpool play Man United. I would love it on a regular basis. Or Barcelona. So I'm watching Sadio Mane or whoever versus Messi, right? Or Juventus with Ronaldo. I'd love to see that on a regular basis, but not at the expense of the little guys who sometimes fight their way into relevancy, like Leicester. Right,
a couple years ago.
Remember
that
the story?
Sick story. That was 3 years ago. Four years ago.
I want to say it was three or four. Whatever.
That
was
an incredible story.
But they hadn't won
in like 30 or 40 years, whatever it was.
That's right.
And they were relegated and they won it.
That's right.
I remember. I even remember that.
And so now they're like one of the top teams in the English Premier League.
They built off that success.
So they built off of it. So what happens to the teams like that?
Don't get a chance.
They never will get a chance now. So it's a frustrating situation, and I think a lot of the outcry is because it's American-led, because Joel Glazer, or one of the, maybe not Joel, one of the Glazers will be the chairman of this European Super League. And ultimately, they want to make it like the NFL. You know what I mean? Where it's 30 teams or however many teams. In this case, they're saying 20. Yeah. 20 teams. It's guaranteed revenue. You can build a schedule. People are going to watch it because there's humongous fan bases for these major teams. And the money will flow, and it will decrease to all these other entities. It's compelling. It's complicated. But it's compelling content because it could reshape how European soccer is viewed for years to come.
See, to me, the story about the little team getting left by the wayside is almost more interesting to me.
I think you're right, BT.
You know, think about the NCAA tournament for a sec, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about, we all know the blue bloods. We know who we pencil in, chalk, one seed, push them through, right? But if you look at the history of the NCAA tournament, you know, some of the most poignant moments were authored by teams that what is going on in soccer, permeated the NCAA, we would be deprived of some of the best moments of all time.
That's right. Duke and Kentucky and whoever. Let's say Arizona. Pick some of the guys that were just always there.
The Michigans now.
What if they were the only ones? What if they were the only ones that ever played?
We would never have Richmond upsetting Syracuse back in the day. We would never have UMBC. Sorry, mm-hmm. Teague upsetting your team. Hampton upsetting second seeded Iowa State
VCU.
Back in the early 2000s. VCU, George Mason going to the Final Four. Like, those are some of the most indelible moments in the sport.
Yeah.
Now, I can't speak to the direct correlation to soccer. I don't know if it's because it's not collegiate and it's a little bit of it's professional, so it's different. I get that.
Yeah, of course.
And when you're a professional athlete, the chance for – or professional entity, the chance for an incredible upset is just much more far-fetched because you're a professional.
That's right.
And the disparity is whereas in college, you know, kids, they're developing, their mind might be elsewhere, something broke up with a guy. Like, just it's different.
Yeah, you're right.
And the recipe for upsets, to me, is far more evident based on what we've seen. In college, I don't know if it's quite the same, and I don't think it is in soccer, much like I don't think it is in the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, you know, but actually, the NFL's different. I would have to say more so the NBA and baseball, where markets are a little more important maybe. But this, you know, I just saw the Slack chain, and even I was like, this is ridiculous. This is huge.
Yeah, the trickle-down gets lost, and I think that's what's frustrating. Like, because think about these teams, BT. We did this analogy a few years ago. We were talking about, you know, trying to just explain it. It's like, you know, Liverpool is like, say, Florham Park. So say there's a football team, you know, Florham Park football team.
Which is about 40 miles outside of the city of Manhattan, for those who might not know that is.
But that's how
it is.
It's
in New Jersey, though.
So, but the Giants are like the big team, right? But there's a Florham Park football team, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know where you go.
Right?
And then you got the Morristown, you know, Mighty Jets.
whatever the heck it is. And you're out in Caldwell, West Caldwell. There's a West Caldwell team as well, right? And we're all these little squads, but we just start to build, like, I don't know, hey, let's go get this player. Let's get this player. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we have a good team. And if we're good enough, we can ultimately compete with, say, the Giants. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the only way that happens is if money flows through. And I think one of the things about this championship, is that it hoards the money. The money doesn't flow through. It's closed. It's only 20 teams, and five of them have to earn their way in. It's going to be 15 permanent, and five have to earn their way in. But the money just stays there amongst the top. So the rich get richer, and therefore the Giants can afford the better players. I could develop a superstar player. All of a sudden, the Giants are like, all right, I want that guy. Let's pay this guy $10 million.
Well, I'm not sold on Daniel Jones. Let me go and buy Patrick Mahomes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
That's not good, man.
I
would not like that for anything.
I don't either.
I really
would. And that's why there's a lot of backlash to this.
It should be.
I mean, this is a huge story internationally today. We don't talk a ton of soccer. I mean, you got to really have an affinity for it to get into the details and the minutiae of it. I've gotten into it because my brother's gotten into it. And so when this hit nationally, it became a huge deal. And
no
European
question.
Analysts are talking very passionately about this. And the reason you know it's a bad idea is it's really hard to find anyone who's for it other than the owners of
the teams who are bouncing.
Of the teams that are bouncing.
They're making money.
The fans are backlashing.
Yeah. Even the fans of the teams who are going to benefit?
Oh, yes.
Oh, just double check.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Fans are pulling off the banners.
Because they want to know that they could be relegated, which is the urgency to keep the product good if they don't play well.
The competition matters. You know what I mean? Like, this is why we got upset with, at least I did, because I know I got really heated about this with Carson Wentz, because he didn't want to compete. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's my job. I got paid. I don't want to compete. I know I've sucked up late, but I don't want to compete. It's my job. And forget Jalen Hurts. I know you drafted him, but this is my job. I don't want to compete. Competition is what sport is about. And by eliminating competition, you do a disservice to the sport. And so that's why people are up in an uproar about this. And I get it. And especially in European soccer, where it matters. The little guy can rise. And the big guy sometimes can fall.
Uh-huh. So what's the resolution? I mean, did this change in a month?
I think it's still being negotiated. The FIFA and UEFA are threatening, banishment
of
players and keeping – these participating teams out of, say, the Champions League or the Europa League or things like that. So it's a lot of money that's at stake, even if it's, consequential to them making more money. There's two things that may go down, and there's two different arguments here. The super teams, the super league, they're saying UEFA shouldn't be a financial partner with us. They should just be a governing body. They're taking too much of the money. That's why we have to go do it on our own, right?
Okay.
UEFA saying the other thing. It's, we got to share the money because we distribute it.
They're doing this.
Exactly. It's like, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's your fault. No, it's his fault. It's your fault. I think the other thing that becomes pertinent here is the UEFA was looking to expand the Champions League, right? They were going to make it bigger. It's 32 teams currently. They're going to make it 36, and there was an announcement right around the corner, right? The European Super League beat them to the punch. And so this may be a negotiating thing to try to get, some changes to how the Champions League is run or these other, competitions are run.
Well, if this doesn't scare them into change, nothing will.
I agree.
They threw out whatever ace they have in their back pocket. I don't know that you can come out with anything more threatening than what they're
coming
out with.
They
can't. If you try to get change.
No, you can't.
This is basically radical overhaul.
It is.
And if you don't do what we want, we're out.
That's right.
That's usually pretty effective.
Yeah. I feel bad for some of the players, though, because they're going to be caught in the middle. They're going to get, like, Liverpool players and Man U players. They're going to get booed for just doing with their jobs. I mean, they got to play where the club tells them to play. It's just something to keep an eye on.
Oh, we will. I know you definitely will.
It's an indication of what could happen if the NCAA, Power Five and the NCAA come to loggerheads and basically say, well, we're out. Forget y'all. We're going to go do our own thing.
Okay. If you guys want to tweet, by the way, by all means, let it in. A lot of soccer fans out there, we know. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. And interesting stuff. I knew you were passionate about this. It's a huge story, no doubt. All right, Teague, let's get to this coming up next. This is another pretty big story. A lot of teams, a lot of players threatening. We're not showing up for voluntary workouts in the NFL. Well, one guy is. He's leading the charge. He's laying down the template for a competitive offseason. Got to respect it. The question is, will it impact anything? We'll tell you who it is and what we're talking about. That's next. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, this weekend, CBS takes you to the next stop on the PGA Tour. Some of the biggest names in golf roll into the Big Easy, competing at the Zurich Classic New Orleans. The live coverage beginning Saturday and Sunday, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, on CBS. And as I always say, golf is always on all the weekends of the Tierney household. So get to hear Nance and Faldo and everybody else out on the course. I was watching a little. I was obviously out. We had a lot of games this weekend with the kids. But Stuart Sink, very, very good story. Nice to see Stuart Sink get back in the winner's circle. Mm-hmm. Been a while, man.
Yeah, steady. He was steady all weekend, man.
Yep. Shot a minus 19. He won it out there in South Carolina. Harbor Links, the RBC Heritage. He shot, I want to say, minus 19, 70 on the last round. So he did what he had to do. Varner was charging. A few other guys shot like mid-60s on Sunday to kind of put some pressure on him. But he made the shots. He made some putts and found the fairway, found the greens. He started up by a lot of strokes, so it would have been a real crumbled, but good stuff. Not a young guy. He's in his mid-40s, 40, 44, 45 maybe?
Yeah, Stuart.
Just around there, right?
Yeah, Stuart Sink is 47.
Yes.
From Huntsville, Alabama.
Alabama boy. Nice job. Good win by Sink. And, of course, we have golf coming up this weekend here as well. So, as I said, the Zurich Classic as the golf season keeps on going. PGA Championship not too far around the corner. Then, of course, the U.S. Open. We got some things coming. Open Championship. So, Cam Newton. This is interesting. Now, Cam Newton is not only is Cam Newton working out. He's going to participate in the offseason voluntary workouts that everybody's resisting around the league. But he's also imploring his teammates to do the same. Now, I find that admirable, but also a little, not disconcerting, but maybe a little blind spot in terms of reading the room. It's admirable because you're trying to galvanize the team and get everybody in the building, be a leader, blah, blah, blah. A little bit of a blind spot. He already had COVID. Not that you can't get COVID if you've already had it. You can. Small percentage, but you can.
Yeah.
Much like you can also get it if you get the vaccination, although, you know, doctors and scientists say that the effects are far lower. I'll leave it up to them. I don't know. Just whatever.
Basically, the vaccine says you're not going to be hospitalized and die.
Correct.
But you can still get it. You still got to wear your mask and do everything else. Look, I had to
pass it on to somebody who hasn't had it.
Well, that's the bigger issue. I'm good. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Those people around you aren't.
Still around. Exactly. Well, by the way, real quick, I saw next month, New York State is increasing the capacity for indoor venues.
Oh, interesting.
25%. So, you know, the Nets getting ready to play playoff games. Knicks playing playoff games. That's going to go from about 2,000 or 3,000 people in the building to about, let me see, more like 5,500, 6,000 at the Garden. Roughly the same, a little less in Barclays, smaller.
Nice.
But anyway, numbers are starting to pick up, which is good.
Well, I guess it's also because more and more people in New York and New Jersey and really across the country are getting vaccinated.
Yep.
So, I forget what I was saying. But anyways, I think the point was about Cam. Mm-hmm. I had the same read that you did, BT, about what Cam Newton is doing. Meaning, I'm going to the voluntary workouts after, I mean, at least half, maybe even more, of these teams have said, we are not going to participate in the voluntary off-season workouts. And really, no workout off-season workout because they don't like the current coronavirus plan. Now, if I'm Cam, I can understand why in his mind he's saying, look, I already had this, you know, I'm good. And I got to be the leader of this team because that's what they're paying me to be. I'm still trying to reprove myself in the NFL. I'm going to lead the charge for these players. But I think what Cam is misreading, to your point, BT, is that a lot of players are starting to pick up on this thought process that they don't need as much of the offseason as they've currently or previously had to participate in. Mm-hmm. And so Cam, in a sense, is like taking the, I don't want to say ownership side because that makes it seem like it's us against them, but he's taking like, you got to work outside versus we're okay if we don't work outside, where a lot of the players are right now. One, because of COVID, but more importantly, I think because they saw last year without it, they did just fine.
How divisive could that be for the Pets?
I think very divisive. And it's really going to be interesting to see, you know, if he still is able to hold that role, like that, because he was the leader in the locker room.
He was.
We heard that like from the very beginning. He came in, everybody respected him, everybody liked him. If it wasn't for COVID, who knows? Because he got COVID and missed two games.
I think it may have been three. It was at least two.
Yeah, at least two. But whatever it was, if that hadn't happened, maybe they do make the postseason. And who knows? Once happens, you know, in the postseason, who knows, right? But he was the leader. And now, if you're getting guys saying, well, Cam, you're not really speaking for us. You're espousing something that we don't necessarily believe in. Mm-hmm. Are we going to follow you again? Even though we were under 500 last year. So it could change the message a lot that he gets back from the players that he's trying to send those messages to.
That's what I thought you'd say, and that's why I asked the question. I mean, there's two things at fold. There's the inner sanctity of the Patriots locker room, but then there's also kind of breaking away from the players, the union message.
The union saying don't go.
Yeah, very surprised that Cam's taking this position so publicly here. It's, you know, I respect it, but a little insensitive.
Yeah, I understand a little bit because let's think about it from a Cam Newton standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
He was the man. I mean, he won an MVP. He was in a Super Bowl, and they didn't get blown out in that Super Bowl. Maybe if he had played a little hard.
You're down a couple of points, 4 minutes to go. Yeah. Dive on the football.
Dive on the football.
I'll never forget that, yeah. And I'll never forgive him for that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm a Cam fan, but I won't say
he didn't play hard.
You got to dive on the football.
He didn't make that effort at that moment.
Nope.
Let's leave it there.
Nope.
But he was close to winning a Super Bowl, too, and he's been a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last three or so years, it was just like he's done. Right? I just don't see that Cam anymore. He's done. And he's not old, but he's got to reprove himself to a new franchise and a new organization, most importantly, a new head coach. So Bill Belichick is the last coach that's saying, oh, yeah, you guys do whatever you want
in
the offseason. Go chill.
Yeah.
It was good for you. You guys relax. He's like, how can I grind some more? Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Newton is trying to match Belichick in an effort to prove himself.
Yep.
Almost at the expense that he's maybe be unaware of the guys he's actually trying to lead.
Yeah, he's trying to ingratiate himself to a coach who knows nothing but hard work.
Grind, yep.
Pushing the limits, grinding. And they would be doing this if they were coming off a 15-1 season,
yep.
And a championship, or a 14-2 regular season. The fact that they were 7-9 and have a very different roster based on the free agent imports, I guess, 8 guys coming back who mm-hmm. opted out a year ago, that's a lot of roster volatility. So I understand why there would be an urgency, not only from Cam, but everybody, to get in the building.
Yep.
I just don't think it's – I'm not saying it's a bad look for Cam. It's a delicate look that could be perceived by some as a bad look.
Yeah. Look, they had a lot of free agent signings. I mean,
oh, yeah.
So this is why Bill Belichick – I mean, we got this this draft profile, I think, from CBS, actually. Matt Judon, free agent. Jonnu Smith, we talked about these. Hunter Henry, Jalen Mills, safety.
Two tight ends, right?
Philly, yep, two tight ends. Hunter Henry and
Jonnu Smith from Tennessee.
Yeah,
did you say
Smith.
Him? I'm sorry.
Yep, so both of them. Nelson Aguilar
signed.
You know, Kendrick Bourne, who was from San Francisco.
Receiver.
He came as a free agent. A couple of re-signings. Godchow, who's a D-tackle from Miami, he came over. They got Kyle Van Noy back from Miami.
Yep.
And another defensive end from the Jets, Henry Anderson. Who you
I like Anderson, actually.
Yeah,
he's going to be a good spot situational guy for him.
So they brought in, a ton of new players.
Yeah.
And the last thing you're going to do when you have a new, basically you're remaking your roster is, yeah, we'll figure it out when we get to training camp. Yeah, you're good chilling. Bill Belichick's having agita right now,
mm-hmm.
trying to get these guys up to speed, and now nobody wants to come. Cam Newton's trying to play the in-between game.
Yes, he is.
It's a smart play, but it's a dangerous play.
Yes, it is. Agreed on both fronts. Teak, let's get the update from Ack. First, let's say hi to Ack. Ack, how you doing today, buddy? You good?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Let me ask you a baseball question. Switch it up real quick. You're
okay.
A big baseball guy, too. So, listen, we've seen other – last year the Yankees were 6-9. So we've seen some rough Yankee starts before. This feels very different.
Mm.
It feels very, very, very ominous. They seem very lackluster. I don't love Boone. I don't dislike Boone. I don't love him. How you're not a Yankee fan, but how concerned should Yankee fans be?
I'd be slightly concerned, if at all, for no other reason that they don't have anything right now behind Gerrit Cole. And their big thing was they could out-hit people, but
yep. Yeah.
You know, they're just not. You know, at some point, the home run just doesn't do it.
And, I know.
And I maybe I'm just old school or old, but I love the days when you'd see Derek Jeter go first to third and take that extra base.
Oh, absolutely.
That was the conversation we had with Gary Sheffield.
That's right.
Last week.
Teak.
You know, and I really think, get him on, get him over, get him in. And I think sometimes, maybe just go back to that. See if that could manufacture some runs and jumpstart you a little.
I feel like the Yankees right now have the same skill set at every position player. Right?
Yeah.
Brent Gardner's obviously not that guy. But, a lot of them feel like it's same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Swinging, launch angle, whatever, exit velocity. That's all they care about.
Well, to Ack's point, first to third and, get him over, get him in is a great thing. But you got to have guys who can move a little bit. They have, they don't have – even DJ LeMay, who's going to – he's going to hit 320. I'm not worried about him. He doesn't run particularly. He's not slow, but he's not a plus runner. So
fair.
They don't have any real speed to even – when they're not hitting home runs to try to manufacture. And by the way, we keep talking about the home run, the overly reliant. Well, Major League Baseball changed the baseball this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, it shouldn't impact where guys are hitting 170 like they are in succession, But I really think the Yankees have issues. I wanted to run it by Ack. I know he's watching the baseball stuff, too. All right, let's get the update from Ack. Tiki and I will come back, hit you with the blast on a busy Monday show. And by the way, Tiki mentioned in that little baseball exchange with Ack the interview we did with Gary Sheffield last week. It was incredible. Sheffield flat out said, I don't watch baseball. I don't like baseball. He went on to say that when he was working for TBS doing playoff games, he wasn't even watching games up until he had to actually go and work.
Yep.
Go and watch this interview, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. It was revealing. Ax update, then we have the blast. Here's Rich. All right, blast is on deck here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Before we do that, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. And Tiki, it's brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Doug in Nashville. And Doug wants to know something about the Broncos. We spent first hour on them. We spent a lot of time on Denver. So if you were the Broncos, would you only move up to number four if you knew your guy was still there? Or do you like Lance, Fields, and Jones enough to move up no matter who's still available? Good question. Why don't you take it first, Dee?
Yeah, that is a good question. I'm going to say I think I would move up regardless because they need an upgrade from Drew Locke. I mean, I like Drew Locke as a kid. He's a cool kid. It's fun to root for, but I don't know if he's going to the places, the heights that they need him to go to. So I'm gonna say, yeah, you for anyone.
That's a good question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'd have to kind of see how the draft plays out a little bit here. Like, I can't imagine they're looking at Mac Jones saying, we need Mac Jones. There's no way they're doing that. So their list probably is Fields.
No, they're not ready to win like that yet.
Well, I don't even. I mean, you think that Lance, that that Mac is ready. I'm just not a Mac Jones guy. I'm not. I could be dead wrong. Right now, I'm just, you know, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a huge believer. I'm a fan. I'm not a huge believer. Is a difference. But I can't imagine that they're plotting any move to target Mac Jones. If they are, that would surprise me. I would think that, you know, in their building, they're thinking either they know that Lawrence going first. They strongly believe, if not know, Wilson's going too.
Yep.
So to me, it's got to be between Fields and Trey Lance in terms of who they really like. Now, if they really like one of them but are like lukewarm on the other, and I don't know who it would be. I don't know the order. No, I wouldn't just blindly move up unless I know that I'm getting some. I'm not just going to move up to move up. I'm going to move up to – and I'll tell you something else. I'll move up and give up more than it would take to just move up as long as I know that I'm getting the guy that I covet.
I think what he's saying is if there's a – they'd have to bake a lot of these deals.
No, you can trade it on draft day.
Oh, I know. So pre-bake the
deal. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if my guy is there at three or four, I'm prepared to give up the farm. Let's consummate this deal real quick while you're on the clock and let's go.
Got it. All right, there you go. It's going to be a wild night. It's going to be a wild few days. Draft should be a lot of fun, and it's coming up quick. You ready for the blast, Teague? See what we got?
I am. Let's go.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, partner. Saddle up, partner. Pick them up. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Steelers expected to address their void. Oh, and there is a big void at running back. Also a void on the offensive line.
Yeah.
In the first or second round of next week's draft, although that was refuted by some today, we'll see. I don't think they're picking a running back in the first round. That's just me. But could a star running back put the Steelers over the top is the question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. But I think you need to shore up that offensive line first. Right?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, if Najee Harris is there and if they had done some more in free agency, would it be more interesting for them? Offensive line wise, would it be more interesting for them to say, look at one of these really good running backs, Travis Etienne or Najee Harris, or there's a couple of these other guys as well. I would say absolutely.
The North Carolina kid, one of the North Carolina kids.
Javonte Williams or Michael
Williams before.
Williams. Yeah, I think Williams before, I agree. He's bigger.
Yep.
But I don't think they're going to do it in the first round. But they do need to upgrade that run game. Like, the one thing that held them back, because they were good on the defensive side, they were good offensively in the pass game at times. They had zero run game.
It's horrendous. I mean,
horrible.
They couldn't get the tough yard, whether it was a first down, whether it was to get it in from the goal line. I mean, they were pushed around. They were manhandled up front. Bottom five pass protection, bottom five, you know, run block.
They got to go O-line.
They have to go O-line. And there's a lot of good ones that are going to be around there. So, if they have the other stuff, then, yeah, running back could elevate them to the top of the conference. But they got to shore up that offensive line. Otherwise, it doesn't matter who they draft as a running back. Speaking of running backs, in an interview with ABC7 out in Denver, Melvin Gordon got something off his chest.
I just want to come out and be the best back. You know, I would love to rush a title. You know what I mean? I just want to be the best back. I feel like I'm, you know, so overlooked. You know, and whatever that case may be, maybe because we didn't get a lot of TV time with the Chargers or this year, you know, just with the split in the ball and then, you know, the fans not being there for COVID. I don't know what the case is, but, you know, I get overlooked a lot and I'm kind of sick of it. Just personally, I just want to go and be the best back because I know I'm capable of being that.
All right. Got to respect the, the vision. You got to believe in yourself, bet on yourself. Now, do we agree with what he just said? Do we see potential in Gordon to become an elite back? I don't see it as much. I'm sorry. I like him. I'm not saying I wouldn't want him on my team if he's getting 60% of the carries, maybe even 70. But it's not like he's in year three or four. He's been around six, 7 years at this point. He's 28
six.
Years old.
Yeah,
six. Okay.
This will be seven.
This will be seventh season. I mean, how many players do we ask, especially in a position like that where you pop right away, where we say, boy, I wonder if this player is going to be a superstar in going into year seven. So my answer is no.
Yeah, and by the way, he's had 1,000-yard season in those 6 years.
A couple years ago.
I think the biggest issue for Melvin Gordon, I like Melvin Gordon. I think he's a very good back.
I
think he might be in that by committee category for running back because out of the 6 years, last year he missed a game, but it wasn't really significant. It's only been one season. So in the first 5 years, all of them with the Chargers, San Diego, and then Los Angeles, he only played 16 games once, right? That's a big question mark that leaves you questioning whether or not he can be that guy.
And, T, didn't he go his entire rookie year without a touchdown?
He did.
His entire rookie year without
a
touchdown?
Zero touchdowns.
Yeah, I remember that.
184 touches and no touchdowns.
That's not a good start.
Yeah. Actually, it's more than that. It's 217 touches and no touchdowns. He had 33 receptions, too.
That's worse.
Yeah.
All right. Saturday, this was fun. Steph Curry and Jason Tatum put on a show, faced off in Beantown. Boston came away with a five. Boston's playing better. 5 points. So is Golden State. Golden State's gotten more competitive lately.
Yep.
They beat the Warriors despite 47 and 11 threes from Curry. All right. Tatum dropped 44. He shot 16 out of 25. Which was the more impressive performance, by Steph or by Tatum?
Yeah, this is a hard one because in the individual, if you're just looking at it individually,
yep.
I mean, you're going to say it was Jason Tatum because his team won. But I have to say Steph Curry, BT. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry has been stupid the last week and a half, the last couple of weeks. I was trying to pull up his game log. I can't get it quick enough. But, I mean, obviously he scored 47 in this game. Prior to this, he was, let's see, I have it here. His game log is 47, 33. This is going backwards now. 42, 53, 38, 32, 41, 37, 36, and 32. I mean,
nice on a spree.
I mean, forget it.
Hit a left-handed shot. You see that?
Yeah.
Left-handed jump shot.
Without even looking, really.
So yeah.
I got to say Steph, just because I see the cumulative, even though this was just the next of the latest.
I hear you. The other thing I would say why I would agree with Steph is that he has a little less help.
Yeah.
He has less help.
Great point.
And Jason Tatum is a really, really, when he's right, he's really good.
Yep.
But he's got a little more help there. And, you know, what Steph has to run away from just to get himself open, it's different. It's next level. So I'm with you. I'm going to say Steph Curry, too. All right. Jimmy Butler calling out Bam. Called out Bam out of Bayou following the Heat's loss to the T-Wolves on Friday night.
It's about time.
Yeah, right? Okay, here's Jimmy B on Bam.
I want Bam to attack the rim because nobody can stay in front of him. Nobody can stay in front of him. Go. You're going to get fouled or you're going to dunk on somebody. That's cool. I love him shooting mid-range jump shots too, but he lets people off the hook and he play bully ball. I like bully ball.
Yes, you do. Old school Jimmy B. Got to love it. All right, so Bam responded. 21, 15 rebounds, the buzzer beater to beat the Nets yesterday. What is Bam Adebayo's ceiling? It's incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, this is why veteran leadership, the right veteran leadership is paramount to the now, but also the future. Player to he, you know, he's trying to empower him. He's saying, "Man, I've been in this league forever. I've seen it all, and you've got a lot more than most guys I've ever seen. Get to the damn rim, will you? I love it. I love it. It wasn't disrespectful because it was a compliment." But by saying it publicly, and I'm sure he said it privately a bunch of times, and he wasn't getting the message, now he steps on the gas a little bit, says it publicly, and bam, comes out. And I know, ironically, the winner is that is a jump shot, ironically. Yeah, yeah, but, yeah. You know, 15 rebounds, and the number is 10 rebounds a game. PER is terrific. Bam's a young kid. What's his ceiling? His ceiling is, to me, to one day maybe be have a year or two where he finishes top five in the MVP race. I'm not saying he's going to win it, but I think the Bam's ceiling is very high.
There's a lot of guys that got to age out before that happens. But I'm just saying, glad that Jimmy Butler finally got back to this Jimmy Butler that we're used to.
Jimmy.
Right? Not necessarily calling out your teammates, but just tell them about themselves a little
bit.
Because that's the only way they're going to get to reach their potential. Look, they got a good coach. We know about this. Great coach in Eric Spoelstra. We talk about this all the time. But
terrific.
You need that in-locker room catalyst, and that's Jimmy Butler. And be honest, BT, it's the reason that they're only a game over 500. It's because we haven't seen enough of this from Jimmy, to be honest with you. So I think more of this matters, and it helps Bam reach his ceiling, which is probably, I'd say, maybe in the top 10 of the MVP, not the top five.
All right, so you get a nitpick is what you say.
I am.
All right, I got you.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I mean, if he develops a consistent three-point shot, forget it.
I'm sure he's going to put the time in. You play for Miami, you put the time in. Otherwise, you don't play for Miami.
That's a good point.
You know, I would expect Randall came back with a three. I would expect Bam to come back with a three.
Yep.
It's just the evolution of the game. And once you get a sense of spacing and you see, oh, this is easy, I could do this. But it should never come at the detriment of doing what got you there, and that's doing some damage around the rim, to Butler's point.
Yeah, agreed. So, BT, I was surfing Instagram. This is back to our soccer conversation, and I saw this take, and it was so important. What did I come on and say when we first started talking about the English Premier League and the Super League that they're forming? Liverpool gave away a 3 points, right?
Yes.
The reason that matters is because they're sitting sixth right now, and in order to play for the Champions League, you got to be in the top four. Right? Next year, if this league goes through, this game won't mean anything. Who cares? They're going to play in the Super League anyways. So, it's like the subtleties of this thing are bad for European soccer.
Every point matters, my man. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Have a great Monday night. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.